My mother painted a beautiful picture. She said, oh, no, you're going up there, you're going to see your father and the people are going to be taking care of. She painted this beautiful picture. So it made it kind of easy for me. But I remember the day when we were going, all the children were crying.
Aloha mai kakou. I'm Leslie Wilcox of PBS Hawaii. Welcome to Long Story Short, on location in Kalaupapa, Molokai. This is the lush yard and the home of Norbert Kayama Palea, who was banished to the Hansen's disease settlement here at the age of 5 in the year 1947, without, he says, even a diagnosis of leprosy. Just a small mosquito bite that alarmed authorities because of the times of fear and dread in Honolulu. On this lovely day in 2009, Norbert Kayama Palea is the youngest patient at Kalaupapa, 68 years old.
Long Story Short with Leslie Wilcox, produced with Sony Technology, is Hawaii's first weekly television program produced and broadcast in HD. High definition, it's in Sony's DNA.
It's one of the nicest homes in Kalaupapa, a tribute to the nurturing of its resident, Norbert Kayama Palea. It's a far cry from his first remembrance of life inside the system, a bad memory of his introduction to life as a Hansen's disease patient. What's your first memory?
My first memory was the old Kalihi Hospital. It was, think of an old concentration camp like they had in Stalag 17. That's what it reminds me of. It was like 10 feet high and it had barbed wires all around of it. And we were staying there, and because we moved later to Halemahalo in Pearl City in 1949 because of the soap factory that was there. So the Kalihi was the receiving station for all the people that lived within the islands.
Well, first back up, how did you get to the receiving center in Kalihi?
Well, all I know, I was in school one day and I remember them coming over. I remember my auntie coming and says, talking to my mom in Hawaiian, and said, oh, Kayama has to go to the Ma'ipake place in Kalihi. Ma'ipake means Hansen's disease. So I remember that, and next minute I know I'm in this hospital already. I'm in Kalihi.
Was your family scared when they heard you had to go to the hospital?
No. They used to come and visit me before I came in. I stayed there about 3 months.
And how old are you at this time?
I'm 5 years old. This is February the 10th, 1947.
And why did you get sent?
Well, because I had a little mosquito bite on my ear. And because I had my father who was here in Kalaupapa, who I never saw in my life, they thought, oh, it's leprosy already. So there were about 26 of us. They were all sent to Kalihi. And then
you're there to be diagnosed?
No, we're not there to be diagnosed, but there's hundreds of people. You know, there's so many patients coming in all the time, constantly.
So basically, when you had a mosquito bite, before you had a diagnosis of Hansen's disease, you were in a place full of people
with Hansen's disease, and not only Hansen's disease, because in the early, late 30s, the prevalent disease in Hawaii was tuberculosis. This is why we have the hospital in Leahi. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the patients that came here had tuberculosis and leprosy.
So do you think you had Hansen's disease? Was that what that was?
I don't feel it was a mosquito bite, my mom said. I believe that. I don't believe I had the sickness because, okay, from there was a shipment. What I remember Kalihi was the monkey shows, we call that. And a lot of people to this day, the doctors in Hawaii, they don't like us to remember that.
Monkey shows, what's
that? The
monkey
show is like, you know, they strip you. And you know, I have the pictures of it. All you have is a little napkin in the front of you. Women too, they only have just little napkins here. And you would walk this plank. And the doctors would come around. And not doctors, something, just people would look around.
Look all over you.
Probe all over you. And that was really demeaning, you know. You rob you of all your dignity. So a lot of people couldn't, you know, they would just draw fit.
You remember doing that at age 5?
I remember doing that. To me, it was not so loud about it. I just go through the motions and get it over with. Because they say the sooner you get over with it, but you see everybody crying and, oh, I don't want to go there, you know.
Because they were finding things on their body?
No, because these are perfect strangers, you know? Oh. And, you know, the women especially. So I think, just go through it and get it over with, you know? Because I still remember the older people used to tell me. I guess because I was young and absorb everything real fast. You had to grow up quick.
When you were 5 years old, you remember thinking, I'm not going to be with my family again? Did you know that?
Not at the time.
You thought you were going home afterward?
No. Later on, my mom came and visited me. She said, oh, you know, you're gonna go to Kalapapa. I said, what is that place? And I said, you know where all the leprosy patients are? No, I knew of the place, because in school they talk about it, you know, when I was a youngster. And then...
And they didn't talk about it like it was a disease. They talked about it like it was a death sentence and something very dirty,
something,
right?
Yeah, something very dirty, you know, unclean. So at that moment, I didn't really, you know, fathom that thought. Only thing, my mother painted a beautiful picture. She said, oh, no, you're going up there, you're going to see your father and the people going to be taking care of you. She painted this beautiful picture, you know. So it made it kind of easy for me. But I remember the day when we were going, all the children were crying.
You weren't crying?
No. They were screaming. Oh, I don't want to go there. But they know they're going to die already. You know, they know it. I knew I was going to go there. But before that happened, when my mother used to come visit every weekend, she would come visit and she would explain things to me.
And she already had a husband here, so
yes,
she knew.
Do you know what that is? So mother used to say, Sayama, the day when you go, when you get on that plane, whatever you do, don't you turn around now. And you sing, because you have a beautiful voice. Sing to all these kids. So I used to just sing to them. I never sing anything. And then when I used to go write, I used to do all the songs. They tell me, not sing any song. I would just get all the rest of it, sing to them. So now the day we were going to depart, I remember when my mother was way over there. They kind of stay close to us, you know, like at least 50 feet away, even at the visitor's place. I'm sitting here, there's a hedge, another hedge, and then way over there, and you scream across. And there's a little small chicken wire fence above, where you have to yell across, because you're afraid of maybe your saliva or something might catch you. That's how ignorant people.
And you were just a little boy.
Yeah, so I kind of was prepared for it. So when I got to the airport, I remember some of them are still living. Some of them are living outside now. And they said, Norbert, you remember the day we was all crying and you were singing to us? And they said, don't worry about it. I was a little bit too naive. But no, I didn't have that. As I said, my name Kayama is, before I even, when I was a child, I never thought about a year old. My grandfolks told my mom, I'm going to be taken away from her. Just like that. So they said, I'm going to give you the name Kayama, means strong leader.
Like the ama in the ocean of a canoe.
Thing, right? You know, you're not going to falter on the side and all that. So, and I believe that, you know, on the name.
And you had some proud lineage.
Yes, because my family, you know, and as a youngster, I remember my sisters used to say, you know, just remember who you are and where you came from. Don't be high maka, you know, seeing your problem if you come from Ali'i family, you know. To be Ali'i, you must be humble.
What's the Ali'i connection?
My great-grandfather and Queen Liliuokalani's mother or brother and sister. That's our connection.
So when you received the name Kayama and you were told, you know, they knew you had to be strong and they said you'd be taken away, what was that all about?
I know this before. My name is Norbert, but all my brothers and sisters, my family, they don't call me Norbert. Only the family call me that name. So all my brothers and sisters begin to call me that every time they come. You know, so I become it. I don't know, but they start calling me that name.
Do you think it was destiny that you came here, fate, or was that just a lucky guess that somebody thought you were going to be taken away?
It was destiny, and I have no regrets about it, none whatsoever. I feel this way, that, you know, the more when something sad happens to you, you know, you grow from that. Sadness is a good thing, you know. A lot of people say, oh, sadness makes you changes your whole outlook in life. Now, so my mother said, don't Don't turn out. So when we got on the plane, I remember that, just before coming. Everybody was crying, you know, and I was singing. It's like the crying was above my voice. So I remember I just looked back. And then I still remember their faces. My mother and my sister, they were crying. In fact, before they was crying, my mom said, remember now, family, don't cry now. And she said, I said, Mom, how come they're crying? But nobody's crying. I don't see no tears, but I can feel it, you know. And she said, oh, because they love you. You know, my mother had all the answers for everything. She was a wizard.
Was she putting up a good front for you?
My mother was a very strong lady. My mother had, she could see anything coming before it even happens. She can tell you what's going to happen tomorrow. Well,
here's a mom who lost her husband and the 11th child.
So, and then, yeah, my mom was a very strong lady. She believed in God and everything, you know. So, she instilled in me something that no professors of mine that I've had over the years can ever give you, the kind of value, you know.
With medication that arrested Hansen's disease, Norbert Kayama Palea went to college, became a fashion designer, made money, traveled widely. He owns a condo in Honolulu. But for him, this is home, and it's a form of heaven.
I went to school, and I got my master's in designing. And then that's when I went out and go all over in Louisiana and then open up a shop. And then, you know, I had a boutique shop. In fact, it was a kahala at the Ilikai. It was the first time I opened up there. So I was doing business up there and then helped my family, supported them, and all that. But the only thing was that my mother got older, she said, oh, I used to run away to go and visit her. And always watching the time, because when the next shift, they're going to make bed check. We used to live in these individual rooms. They would shine with the light and shine on your bed to see if you're in, you know. But we escaped already, you know. And if you get caught, so I faced the judge about 3 times. The judge, it's you again, Mr. Polia. He said, how come you, what is it this time? He said, oh, I ran away and then I wanted to be, nowhere to be found. I said, no, I heard them. They have the intercom. How come they paid for you? How come? Where were you? They're looking for you. You know what he said? But I'm a good actor. I said, well, I went onto the top of the building. You see Halimah? How it
was? Yes, that old, the old building, right.
So I said, I climbed to the top of the building. So I couldn't hear the intercom. So naturally, I'm on top of the building, right? And what were you doing up there? And I said, I miss my family. You know? Mm-hmm. I said, you do anything you want with me. I use that phrase. Do anything you want with me. It doesn't matter because I'm willing to commit suicide. I wasn't going to commit suicide. I'm too honored to do that. I said, I wanted to commit suicide. So you know the judge did. He says, I pardon you. And Mr. Hercules Mendoza was so angry because he knew. He's lying. He says, well, you know, I have no excuse for myself. I met your hands. I said, you do anything you want. And he pardoned me. You know,
and that worked more than once?
Yes.
About three, bad four boy.
But yes, I'm the right ringleader for all this.
You know, your mom, you say, was very strong. And of course, she had other children. You were the 11th. But I can't believe she would have been that strong for so long, with her little boy.
Every time when I used to go home for funerals, and I just went to two recently. Every year I'm going down to a funeral. There's so many of us. There's hundreds of us. So I go to the funeral and then my great grandnieces, they always say to me, you know, Uncle, every time Grandma used to stay, she cried every single day, even till now, you know. And my mother used to say, they cheated me of you. They robbed me, you know, the relationship between them. But, and my brothers and sisters too. And I said, when I talk about this place and I want to come back, my brother and sister, they would cry. My brother said, you didn't have the signal when you were there. Remember that. You did not have that signal. You know, you didn't do anything wrong.
Can you compare the stigma to something else? Because, you know, those of us around today don't know what it was like then for the fear of leprosy at this time.
I cannot compare anything like that. You know, the thing is this, look. The recipe is when my father was the first one. Norbert, you know, but he's always in his 80s already, and he's talking to me one day. We're drinking, having good. He said, you know, Norbert, the worst pain I ever had in my life. I said, what? He said, I remember being on a suntan with the cattle, mm-hmm. and the cattle was messed up, and you know, we spread on them, and they're on this boat to come to Kalapapa. He said, when I look back, my mother was pregnant to my younger brother. I was holding her hand, she says, and all my brothers and sisters were there, and my sisters were, they were just wailing for my father. And that was, and in that time you know you're here to, you're exiled, you're here to die, never to see them again. So when you have a funeral and you pass away, at least you have closure. But this, to be living here, knowing that you have children and family out, and there's no phones before, we just have the crank phone. We had no phone to call to Honolulu. And we couldn't write letters. They stopped us. You know that?
They stopped you from writing letters?
Well, they used to fumigate everything. You know the letters? They used to cut the corners. And they used to fumigate it overnight in the fumigation room. And my father said all the old times that they would sterilize them so they don't get children again.
Wow. So how did he do here? He was older and less resilient.
No, my father was...
He had more invested in...
My father was highly respected. I'm blessed, the best parents in the world. My father was a very intelligent man, and he was a musician, and he could play any instrument. And then everybody looked up to him. He was a very humble, soft-spoken man. Not like me, I'm going to talk to you, but he was very soft-spoken. A very humble man.
You know, it sounds like you've made the very best of this, and you have an appreciation of abundance, not scarcity. But what about some of the folks who were here at the same time? Can't be that common a reaction, just acceptance. You must have seen a lot of defiance.
Oh, I've seen a lot of cry. Oh, it's heart-wrecking. I've seen it. But then as the years go by, because we have all these great leaders here. You know, one word from them, they can calm everybody down. Ole, they would say. Don't think and don't feel that way. This is just a new beginning. Death is a beginning. And why we're here, we are not to question God. Why are you here? It's not for you or me to say, oh, why did you give me this sick? You know what I mean? The thing is to do is to accept it and make the best out of it. And then appreciate everything that's around you. And then one day you're gonna see the beauty you see. Even if you sent us here, but look around, you know what I mean? Look, he gave us the most beautiful woman in the world. That's the icing on the cake. I would never, somebody said, no, if you had your choice, would you change your life? I said, no, I would never. I learned how to be more loving towards others, be more compassionate, more wisdom and knowledge, and try to be an inspiration to others, you know? Not because you were down there, if you see, and then this way, I can see somebody walking by, and I know something is wrong with them. Mm-hmm. I can feel it. You know, I met thousands of people over my life. I would just come and say, why are you worrying so much? And they would start talking to me, and I said, did your parents die? Did you get a divorce? You know, you can see it on their face.
Kalaupapa patient Norbert Kayama Palea has attended the funerals of hundreds of fellow Kalaupapa patients who passed on. He says death is a new beginning and funerals are not to be missed. Can you still feel strong when you go to the funerals? And I know you go to many of people you've met in the settlement.
Thousands. I have 76 nieces and nephews. I have 126 great-grandnieces and nephews. I have another 100, there's 348 nieces and nephews from my brothers and sisters. My mother has 20 grandchildren from my three older sisters. One has 10, one has 9, one has 11. And great-grand, there's so many. And I have many, many uncles and aunties. Because my father comes from a family of 18.
So you're saying people die of whatever cause, and it's not just going to funerals of those who've had the
when you
disease.
Die, you just escalate into another higher level. That is the message I want to
do. You don't fear death?
You should accept it. Whether you like it or, you know, once you learn to accept it, whether you like it or not, you don't know when you're going to die, but we're all going to go. But the thing is, why people fear that is they don't have that, you know, that love of caring and sharing to other people. When you have that, you don't even think about it. If I should die tomorrow, so what? As long as I know I've been good to every single human being that you meet, complete strangers. And that's the key. To me, happiness is not to fear. I don't fear death. It's inevitable. I mean, knowing that, if people can accept that thought, it's inevitable, whether you like it or not. I don't care if you're a king, queen, or whatever. You're going to go. Because when he calls you, you're going to have to go.
Okay, so I'm having trouble grasping that.
What?
You don't feel bitterness that you got sent, you got banished to Kalaupapa, even though you weren't a diagnosed patient at the time, right? I mean, you don't feel...
My mother is the one that, she wrote letters, she's so mad. I feel like I'm going to bomb that place. I'm going to bomb that hospital and kill all those people there. My mother. And more she would say, I said, Mom, no, don't feel like that, Mom. Because I was taught, I guess because I come from my grandfolks. Sister Mary Madeline, she's from the Kyokoloile side. They say this, you know, the worst thing anybody can do where you feel all this kind of pain, anxiety and all that is because number one, there's 3 days of fast. The first day you forgive yourself for all the people that you hurt, even those that you cannot remember, because we say things sometimes we don't know that we hurt people's feelings. You take all that back, huh? And then the next day we fast and we dream for God to give you a dream. He'll send the dream to you. My mom is in Honolulu. Sometimes when I used to call on the phone, we call simultaneously. The phone didn't even ring. We communicate. So it's ESP, whatever you want to call it. But because we live in here, my senses are so keen. I can tell you somebody's sick up there.
You said 3 things. What's the third thing? The fast, the dream.
And then the third day you ask God for everything that you need. And he gives you everything. You don't have to remember, I want to pay my bills. I don't do that. I don't remember about that kind of stuff. I used to. But through my years of growing up, from people that I met through my life, I guess because of that, they tell me these things, so I take it to heart. And I never forget what people tell me.
So interesting that there's such loneliness here and yet such a sense of community too.
I don't feel, I never, you know something?
You never felt lonely?
Never, ever. It's like this. I'm home here in my house. Now, I know a lot of the people that's here. I'm younger than them, right? So I look up to them, I respect them. Not because I have a better education that I'm better than them. No, I'm not. I'm their sibling, I'm below them. So if I know they're sick or something, I go and take something to them or give up some of your time and go there. You don't have time to worry about getting sad. To me, you know, when you help other people, you're actually helping yourself.
That makes a lot of sense.
You know, you do other things for others. Like, no, I said, I'm going to eat lunch. I don't want Leslie to come
here.
Hey! No, I got to stop and go to another interview.
Norbert Kayama Palea, taken from his family at the age of 5 and banished to the Hansen's disease settlement in Kalaupapa, Molokai. He grew into a man who sees abundance, not loss, and for every ending, a new beginning. I'd like to thank him for sharing his life and his life lessons on Long Story Short. I'm Leslie Wilcox for PBS Hawaii. Ahui ho kako.
Long Story Short with Leslie Wilcox is produced in HD by PBS Hawaii with Sony Technology. High definition. It's in Sony's DNA.
You know, you get so caught up into yourself that look around you. Look at what I mean, you know, you forget that what's around you is more important.
Don't worry about the semantics, words.
Look around you. Look what God gave. Look around. You know, there's a lot to appreciate about. You know, I still have a good mind. Thank God for that. You know what I mean? It's the way you think, the way you perceive things.